a clue when we look at horses. For years, scientists thought that racehorses had reached their selection limit. And what I mean by this is that they've been bred and bred and bred, the fastest stud paired with the fastest mare. But we just can't make them any faster.
Okay, so we've been measuring racehorse times for hundreds of years. And over the last couple of decades, the very best horses have really been doing the same sorts of times for the same sort of distances. And we've been thinking that really they're not getting much better, despite all the efforts in breeding and training that have been put in.
That's Dr. Jim Usherwood from the Royal Veterinary College. There is a caveat here, though. For thoroughbreds, there isn't a big enough gene pool, or you might say, not enough top dogs to mate with.
Here we're talking about thoroughbred racehorses, and this is thoroughbred with a capital T, which declares a breed. And the rules to being allowed to race in these races are fairly strict and constrain your breeding really quite strongly.
However, a publication earlier this year suggested that actually we may have had it all wrong.
So there's this interesting, fairly recent study that showed that in elite short distance races, time is getting a bit better. They agree that the winners of the elite races at medium and long distances aren't changing much, but in the shorter distances, they do appear to be getting better.
Why might this be the case? Why might they be stopping short at the mid to long distances, but getting faster at the short distances?
The authors of the extra report suggest that there could have been a new influx of genes coming in from America. Where I say new, they're still thoroughbreds. But no, it can't be apparent from that kind of measurement whether it is genes or training. Both could have accounted for a change there.
So horses haven't appeared, at least reached their selection limit. Do you think we'll ever get to a point where they will?
So you can't infer from times whether it's selection limits or whether training is changing, of course. Do I think that they might reach some genetic limit? I just feel as though the limited genetic pool will probably constrain things to a certain extent.
Obviously, with horses, we're choosing which horses to breed with which. But I suppose when you're taking into account humans, that's a very different matter. Would you ever consider humans to reach perhaps a selection limit?
When you're thinking about humans, of course, the genetic diversity is huge. We don't have a jockey club or a greyhound board saying only these sorts of humans can race. So we do have some diversity to work with.
Because there's so many of us and we're all intermingling with each other all the time, there are a huge number of genes floating around, unlike the world of thoroughbred horses. But is there a limit on what we could achieve? Will we continue to run the 100 metres faster and faster, or will we just level off?
I think every time we boldly write down what this limit is, the fun of athletics is we tend to be wrong, and demonstrably so. Before Usain Bolt, we were not saying that those times are going to be broken. Put it this way, something as fundamental as why we get tired as when we run isn't well understood. We can observe that we do, but why do you get so much more tired running than cycling? And if you can't do something as simple as that, then I doubt any guess at what estimates of top speed.
One thing that springs to my mind is I'm thinking of all the sort of drugs, but also all the technical advances we've had in, say, shoes or what have you. Surely we'll just engineer stuff to meet our needs, to make us faster.
So that's one of the odd things about sport. They go about putting some pretty arbitrary constraints on what you're allowed to change. You could say shoes, you should be getting faster and faster shoes. Yes, faster shoes have been invented and then banned. You can think of brush spikes. Or you can think of the Fosbury flop was allowed, but a somersaulting long jump isn't allowed. So it depends on what the sport's going to allow as to how much you're going to allow technology or technique to radically change things.
Would a simple solution just not to be, hey, let's have two different Olympic races. Let's have one with all the technology we can possibly get to see how fast we can get versus a sort of more standard approach, I suppose, what we do today.
And there you're touching on the ideas that motorsport's got. Do we allow the technology to be part of the sport? And sport doesn't have a consistent answer to that. Cycling is an interesting one where the Tour de France put constraints on bike design to keep it fairly even, keep it fairly consistent across the years. The Tour de France bikes are by no means the best bicycles that we could design, but it's losing some of the fun of the change you could make. I'm torn between the two. Should it just be a pure measurement of what humans can do? Maybe. I do quite like technology, actually.
I think in my eyes, I think I'd quite like to see a change to see just what we could achieve if we were allowed to.
Are you interested in how humans can change, how our muscles and our biomechanics can change, or are you interested in how well you can make a pole vaulting pole? Of course, a better pole vaulting pole allows you to jump higher. At some point, you don't want one that pings somebody so high that they get really, really hurt. You could imagine weird prosthetics that allow you to run really fast, but it means that you could really hurt yourself if you go around the corner the wrong way. So there are bits where you want to keep people safe. And you've got the question of, do you want to measure technology or humans? And athletics tends to be focused on the humans.
I'm still quite taken with the idea of having a Super Olympics, but Jim does have a point there. Where would you draw the line, especially when these Olympians might be putting themselves at risk? Here on The Naked Scientists, I've been searching far and wide to discover